Well, good morning, ladies. Welcome to Bible study. We are lean and mean this morning. It is spring break. It is the stomach virus, and it is the respiratory season once again. So feel free to continue to move forward a little bit so we can be up close and comfortable. I'm excited to get to teach this morning and talk to you about 2 Samuel 22. And I've just entitled this morning, Let's Be Women of Praise. And, you know, as I was preparing this lesson, I was really thinking about praise and how much praise is just around us. So did any of you get praise this morning? Any of you get praise too much in your life? Anyone tell you how great that coffee you made this morning was, or thank you for the clean socks on his feet, or that you had paid that water bill so everyone could brush their teeth and flush those potties this morning. So you were really pumped up. Then you got on the car to drive here, and just being the gentle spirit that you were being just a sweet driver to those other people on the road. And when that crazy person whipped in front of you, you just calmly yielded to allow them plenty of space to get in front of you. And I know they high-fived you, right, on the way here. What a great driver you are. You obeyed all the laws this morning. Isn't it crazy? Why do we not praise enough? I mean, you guys are amazing women. Why are you not praised enough? Is it hard for us because we're too busy? Are we just distracted with things? Are we ungrateful? Well, this year we've learned a lot about David so far. He took the long route from the shepherd boy and the guy hiding with his men in another country to the king that we saw him as last week. He was an accomplished musician. He was loyal. He felt deeply. We've talked about his ability to make music and just the beauty of his words. He was a passionate worshiper, and he just had this unshakable faith in God. But David also struggled with lust. He did not do so well as a daddy. He commissioned a murder. And as a result of all the mess in his life, he had to grieve the loss of at least two sons who died because of sin in his life. Well, all of David, all of the man that we have seen him to be up through the first 21 verses, today I think we see in this beautiful song. It just manifests itself from all of David's emotions, his struggles, his triumphs, his trials. He puts it together in this beautiful song that he sings to the Lord. Because of so many parallels with Psalm 18, many scholars believe this is the draft form of what ultimately became Psalm 18, which was the hymnal that the Israelites used to sing and worship to the Lord. We don't know about that, but we do know that both are the work of a man who had a deep, passionate love for the Lord, coupled with some remarkable skills in writing. Well, this lesson really caused me to pause and to think about some things. I've been wondering about how God would have me do the same thing that David did. How do I take my experiences, my abilities, my skills, as minimal as they are, but really take them and express praise back to God for all the amazing things he's done in my life, and just use it to spur on others? How do I, as a modern-day Christ-following woman, take what God has done for me and put it out there as a song of praise to God for all to see? Now, I'm no David, so you're going to be thankful for this. I have not written a song today because it would be really painful. Not only do I not have the words, but I do not have any musical gift. In fact, I think I'm probably what they would describe as tone deaf. I just have never been tested for it and probably don't ever want to be. So I'm not going to be publishing a psalm, but there is one thing for sure. You and I and our lives should be a song of praise to the Lord for all that he has done for us. And that's the spiritual truth I think this lesson is all about. God is worth our praise. So that's what I want to talk about today. David's song of praise, my song of praise. What's your song of praise, ladies? In a world that forgets to even say thank you for the little things, how do we live a life that is praising and honoring to the Lord? A life of joyous praise so that others know what God's done for us, all of the ways he has saved, redeemed, protected, all of those things for us, just like he did for David. So let's look at how David did it and talk about how we too can live a life of praise. And I've broken this down into 3 points. Let's be women of praise. The first thing I want to talk about is the Lord is our protector, verses 1 through 16. The second thing I want to talk about is the Lord is our Savior, verses 17 through 28. And the last, God is worthy of our praise, is because the Lord is our equipper, verses 29 to 51. So open your Bibles with me to 2 Samuel 22, and let's just dive into this lesson. And start with, God is worthy of our praise because the Lord is our protector. This song reminds all of us about David's difficulties due to others. David did not have an easy life. He might have been king, but he was not living an easy life. In fact, he was a man after God's own heart, but he had a whole lot of enemies on earth, including people in his family, which is just so sad to think about. But it's often the case for believers today, too, that life is not easy. And we've got enemies like spiritual enemies, Satan, who try to rob, steal, and destroy the goodness in our lives. Well, the biggest physical enemy that David probably had been Saul. And we saw David fight him and overcome that threat under God's plan. But through it all, David just continued to be a man of praise and a man of faithfulness to God. And he saw God protect him. Now, in this first section of scripture, I counted 9 types of protection that David had from, and he praised the Lord for. He praised the Lord for being his rock, a place where he placed his faith. David praised God just for always being there, being the one who would be consistent, the same always, the same yesterday, today, and forever. David praised God for being his fortress, his place of safety. David knew that when things got bad, he could run to God and God would be there and be stable and strong. David praised God for being his deliverer, helping him in a time of need, giving him the answers when he prayed. We've seen that consistently. When David prayed, God directed. When he didn't pray, David did really boneheaded things and got in trouble. David praised God for being his rock in whom he took refuge. That's his place of shelter from the storms. David praised God for being his shield, being out in front of him, protecting him. David praised God for being the horn of his salvation. Now, that one's a little bit different. If that didn't make sense to you right away, let's just break that down a little bit. Remember, the Israelites sacrificed as the atonement for their sin. So when they put the horns of an animal on the altar, that was the blood sacrifice that was atoning for their sins. That was the horn of their salvation, the horn of atonement. In Luke chapter 1, verses 68 to 69, Jesus is called the horn of our salvation. He was our blood sacrifice. So just like God provided a way for David to have a horn of salvation, he protected him by that. God protects us. Jesus is our horn of salvation as well. Then David goes on. He calls God his stronghold, and he praises him for that, a place where he was out of reach from his enemies. He calls God and praises him for being his refuge, a place to go when he was pursued, where he could turn to physical security. And he praised God for being his Savior. He saved David from violent men. And in that place, we're talking about physical safety. What a start to his song. Quickly, right when David goes, within a couple verses, he praises God for being nine different types of protection for him. I loved the imagery in the first part of this song. The beautiful imagery of God's all-encompassing power. And my favorite verse was verse 16, so look at that one with me. And it talks about that God pulled David from the waters. God had drawn David out of the waters of affliction. The Hebrew word used for drawing here is only used one other time in the Bible, and I want you to understand just the sweetness of that word that God chose and gave David to use in this psalm. We see it in Exodus when Pharaoh's daughter and her maids are bathing in the Nile, and baby Moses in his basket is floating, and they draw him out of the water into the safety of their arms. That's the only other time in the Bible that we see this same Hebrew word used for drawing. That's the loving Father, the saving that David felt, this gentle arms of the Lord just plucking him out of a really dark place, the water swirling around him, life going crazy, and God draws him in. It's a sweet, gentle, loving pull. God loved and protects David, even though life was not easy. And I want us to remember that, because we can think, you know, David had it easier, but we've seen all of these trials and tribulations and all of the crazy things that he did. But God was always there. God was always with him, protecting him, not keeping him completely out of trouble, but walking with him through those muddy waters, through that swirling abyss that he was in. God was right there swimming with him and helping. And that is the sovereignty of God. That's what God says he will do, that no matter where we are, no matter what we're in, that he is with us. Not only does God love us, but he cares for us. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Ladies, we need to rest in the fact that even though life may not be easy, God is right there in the muck with us. He is walking alongside us. Last week in my small group, and I love small group. I hope y'all learn a ton there from each other. We've got some great wise women in this Bible study. We've got new believers. We've got lots of us in between. And it's just fun to see how God teaches us. But last week in my small group, one of the gals shared that some words of wisdom that I thought I'd share with you. She talked about that if when we transfer our worry to God, it becomes watching. And we just have to watch what God does with it. And if we're faithful at watching, if we really transfer that worry to God and we just watch, it becomes worship of him. It's really hard to watch God take something and run with it and not worship and praise him for it. So worry, we offer it to God, we watch it, and then we just worship him as he takes it and runs with it. If we're worshiping and grateful, it's really hard to be a worrier. So one way we can live a life of praise is to live a life free of worry, to really trust God's provision and his protection. Isaiah 12:22 says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and song. He has become my salvation." Do you believe that? Ladies, if God is our refuge, there is no need for us to worry and to fear. And there's a lot of reason for us to praise. So what's keeping you, what's keeping me from just praising him instead of worrying? What's keeping us from allowing God to really be that horn of salvation? If you're a worrier, just some thoughts. Find a few scriptures like Isaiah 12:2 and really memorize them. So when you begin to fret and worry, you can just meditate on them. Or go to Isaiah 40 and dive in and read all about worry and God's protection and provision. Get a journal and record where you see God each day. He's there with you. Are you looking for him? Are you noticing him? Because he's there. So write down how you see him each day. So on the days where you feel like you're all alone and he's not there, you can open that journal and see where he's been with you. Stay in God's word. Call a friend and ask her to pray over the phone with you. Just don't forget and take that worry back. Then just watch and see how God shows up for you. He is worthy of our praise, which takes me to that second part of the scripture. God is worthy of our praise because he is our Savior, verses 17 to 28. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness in his sight, David sang. Well, when God gave Israel the law of Moses way back in Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verses 1 to 14, he made a few things clear. And one of the things God made clear to the Israelites is that obedience to his law would bring blessing, while disobedience would bring disaster. This is what we saw last week with the famine that was a result of Saul and the Israelites killing those Gibeonites. Even after they had made a covenant with them, God was angry at them. They had broken one of his laws and they suffered by famine. This is Old Testament. This is how it was pre-Jesus. Well, we know David was a man after God's own heart. This song is a beautiful testimony to that. And with few exceptions, David loved and lived by the law. So David believed, as all good Jewish men would, and Jewish women, that God would punish the wicked and save the righteous who took refuge in him. And so David, in this section of scripture, when it talks about justification, is not talking about justification by works. He doesn't think he's being saved by God because he's a good guy or he's trying hard or any of those things, or he did a bunch of volunteer work this week. That's not what David's talking about. But because he had a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. This is what Paul talks about in Acts. Acts 24:16, Paul says, I also do my best to maintain always a blameless conscience, both before God and before men. That's why David felt righteous, because he did all he could to follow the law of God. So in verses 21 to 28, God comes to David's rescue from his enemies because of David's righteousness and their wickedness. David praises God for saving him, and his salvation here is in the physical realm in these verses. In the New Testament, we see the same word for saving that we see in these verses in a number of situations. So this is not the salvation of our soul. We're going to talk about that. But this is the way God saves people again and again and again every day. For example, in Matthew chapter 8, the same word for saving is used when those disciples are on that boat in the middle of the storm and Jesus calms it. He saves them by calming the storm. Same root word. When Peter gets out of that boat and tries walking on the water and loses his faith and starts to go down, Jesus saves him, and that's the same root word here. When Jairus goes to get Jesus because he needs his daughter healed, he's afraid of what's happening to his daughter and she is dying, and Jesus saves her, it's the same save. David is saved again and again and again by God in this physical realm, and that is what he's praising God for. He knows he could not have done it on his own, that God supernaturally was intervening in his life to save him. Well, as believers, God does the same thing for us, the greatest of which is our salvation of our souls. God provided a way. Just like for the Israelites pre-Christ, it was the atonement for their sins on the altar. God put his son, Jesus, on the altar, who shed his blood for us
died and was buried and rose again for the fulfillment of the scriptures, for the fulfillment of our salvation. That's the greatest saving God did. But God saves day after day after day in so many ways in your life, ladies. So we've already received the greatest saving, like David knew, that he was justified by faith. We're saved by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you aren't sure today about your saving, if you could not write this psalm about your salvation, as well as God plucking you every day from the muck and mire, I just encourage you to bring that up in your small group today. Just say, you know what, I'm not sure about being saved. I don't know that if I died today, I would go to heaven, because I think your small group would love to have some just great conversation about why those gals can say with absolute certainty, yeah, I know where I'm going. And if you can't, they'd love to share why they can. So God is always there. His saving grace is here daily, and David recognized and praised him for that. So ladies, when things get hard in your life, are you allowing God to rescue you? When your marriage is hard, when your kids are sick, or when they're teenagers and they're hard, or when they're adults and they're hard, are you calling on God to rescue and save, or are you wrestling with God to try to do it yourself? Are you giving it over for him? God is your rescuer. Go to him. Meditate on his scripture. Dig in and study areas where you really need to work in your life so that he can rescue you with his word, his action, with his direction. Once we're rescued, we should want to praise. And God's already rescuing you in mighty ways. He is worthy of our praise, which brings us to the third section of scripture. The Lord is our equipper. 2 Samuel 22, verses 29 to 51. It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. Well, the Lord enables his chosen servants to do the task that he has charged them to do. And David is just an amazing example of that. It was evident to David. He seems to have had no doubt in this psalm and song that God had done it all. And as David reflects on his rise to the throne, he understands that his whole rise to power was not because of what he did, but because of what God did. It is not as though David did nothing and just waited for God, like magically, to do everything. But in spite of all that David did, God was able to use him, to enable him, to equip him, and to preserve him. So let's look at how, in these scriptures, the Lord equipped David. I just love this section of this song. David praises God for lots of things, and here are some of the ones I pulled out. God was his lamp. God lit the way. When David prayed and asked for advice, God showed him. He shed the light on where David should go. God was his shield, made him strong. He made David's paths perfect. God made David's feet, like hinds feet, stable and strong and able to stand in all kinds of precarious situations. God gave him hands and trained him for battle. God made his arms so strong he could bend that bow of bronze. God gave him the shield of victory. David knew where those victories were from. And God broadened David's path. He spread things out and made it wide so David could move about and see and be equipped. David was given so many gifts of strength, skills, abilities to do what God had for him. He was equipped totally. Well, today, ladies, you are equipped too. Scripture is super clear that God has given us everything we need to live for him by the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's look at it just a couple of the ways that the Holy Spirit equips us. In John 14, 26, the Holy Spirit is our helper. In Ephesians 1, the Holy Spirit indwells and seals us. In Jude, the Holy Spirit assists believers in praying. When we don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit helps us. Same in Romans 8:26. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us. When we do really dumb things, anyone ever felt, ooh, suddenly you're convicted, like maybe I shouldn't do that or go there? That's the Holy Spirit interceding on our behalf and praying for us. In Titus, the Holy Spirit regenerates and renews us. The Holy Spirit is a refresher for us. In Romans 15:3, the Holy Spirit fills us with all joy and peace as we trust the Lord, causing us to overflow with hope. That's why we have hope. And these are just a few of the many ways that God has already equipped us. If you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit. If you're not feeling equipped, maybe you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to do its job in you. Or maybe you're suppressing that quiet voice by thinking that you can do it better. Ladies, basically with the Holy Spirit, we've got the power. We just don't always use it to His glory. Well, our job, like David's, is to have an intimate relationship with the Lord so we feel that power, we feel those skills and abilities, and we use it in all of the details of our daily life. And to do that, we just have to keep growing spiritually. You know, spiritual complacency isn't ever an intention that we have, but it too often creeps in our lives unnoticed. So I would just remind you that in next week is spring break, but 2 weeks after that, we are done with Bible study. What are you going to be working on after that? Do you have a plan, right? Some of you are thinking, I was just ready to rest after the Bible study to have Wednesday morning to do my nails or whatever. But do you have a plan? Because we don't want to be complacent. We want to keep growing in our spiritual intimacy with the Lord. So find a topic in Scripture. Talk to your community group. Talk to your small group. What are people going to be diving into? Stay in some type of a weekly Bible study so you're in the Word daily. Jump in with the journey. Take one of Watermark's equipping classes. We have so many great ways to help you with spiritual growth. You just have to dive in, because we know that when we feel equipped, we just are stronger. We're tapped into the Holy Spirit. And when we're equipped, we praise the equipper. We praise God for what He has done. Well, so are you living a life of praise like David? Even through all the difficulties, through the deaths, through the battles, through people chasing him, through his own sin, and just all of the terrible things that David had suffered, he had a heart of praise. He loved God. His trials were no worse or better, I know, than some of yours. And I just encourage you, be a woman of praise. In response to everything, David just glorified God and gave him praise. So no matter where you are today, ladies, no matter what you're feeling or what's going on or what trial you're in, if you're a believer, God has already done great things for you. He is worthy of your praise. And He's completely forgiven you. He's totally wiped your slate clean. God, even if you are a believer, there are no sins in front of the Lord with you. You are sinless in His sight, white as snow. That's the greatest gift I can imagine. If we shouldn't praise for that, I don't know what we should praise for, that we will live in glory with Him. So what's your song of praise, ladies? In what ways do you praise the Lord with your life, with your actions, with your words? The way He's comforted you, the way He's loved you, do you share that with others? Do you talk to people about all the things God has done for you? Do you thank and encourage other believers who have gone before you for the way they've spurred you on and encouraged you? Are you living a life of praise? As I was preparing for this lesson, it was during the death of Billy Graham. And a lot of people praised Billy Graham for the way that he had been in their role in his life. And I thought, that's how we should talk about the people that spur us on and encourage us. But I saw a clip, and some of you may have seen it, of Kathy Lee Gifford on the Today Show. And not only does she praise Billy Graham, but I thought this was a beautiful song of praise. This is how each of us should sound when we talk to people about our Lord and Savior. So I want to show you this clip.
You have the same philosophy as he did, which he used to say, he used to preach about the joy
absolutely.
Of belief.
Absolutely.
That sounds like you.
And what just happened for Billy happened for my husband, happened for my mother, for my father. Everybody that dies in Christ goes immediately into the arms of Christ for eternity. That is the hope of the Christian faith. Yes, it gives us the tools we need to live in the world today while we're alive. But that's why I could hold my dead husband in my arms and rejoice. Because I knew where he was. And it gives you the peace that passes all understanding. And if we've ever needed peace in this world, we need it now, right? And somebody says to me, why are you so bold about your faith? And I just look at everybody's beautiful face right now. You too. I said, why are you so bold about your faith? And I said, you know what? If you had the cure for cancer, would you keep it quiet? Or would you hold it and keep it a secret? And I always say, I have the cure for the malignancy of the soul. And he has a name, and it's Jesus. And if you just receive, I talked somebody off a cliff this morning on Twitter at 4:30 this morning, because he says, how do I know your Jesus? How can I get to know your Jesus? And I feel so privileged to be able to share just the good news. Gospel means good news. It's good news. And I'm not talking about a religion. I'm talking about a relationship with the living God. They're so different. They're so different. We don't need more religion. We need more Jesus.
You have the same philosophy.
Ladies, that is a song of praise. We have the cure for the malignancy of the soul, and we should be singing it loud and strong. So here's my challenge. What if all 500 of us, or 450 that are here today, left today and just spent the day living a day of praise? In our conversations, the way we encourage others, talking like Kathy Lee did about why we love the Lord and all he has done for us. That was what David was doing in this psalm. That's what God wants from us, to live a life of praise to him, to glorify and honor him, through the way we just show everything he has done for us. Let's be women of praise. Let's pray. Father, I do pray just for us to be women of praise, to change our city, to change our town, to change our communities, our neighborhoods, our streets, the schools where our kids go, by just being women of praise who love and just glorify you with our words and our actions, Father. We love you. I just pray for great conversation as we go to small group. May we just learn all that you have for us while we're here together this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.